A young boy and his friend were walking through the alleyway of their local arena following a big game against the town's arch rivals. And the home team had won, and people remained together long after the game to discuss the big plays and their optimism for a winning season. And as the two boys weaved their way through the crowds, they bumped into the old team captain who had moved on to play pro hockey. And the NHL rookie looked down at the two youngsters and said to one of them, "Hiya, Jimmy." "Hi, Bill," replied Jimmy. And as Jimmy and his friend continued to make their way through the crowd, Jimmy's friend asked with eyes still bugged out over the experience, "You know him, Jimmy?" "Oh, yeah," Jimmy replied. "And he knows me." There's something special about being known. Being known gives us identity. Having our identity affirmed finds us having, maintaining, or gaining a sense of dignity. Moses saw himself as an alien in a foreign land, a displaced, misplaced, forgotten person. He was out tending his father-in-law's flock when he stumbled upon a strange sight. And what began as a normal day in the life of a shepherd who was alone and walking through the desert became an extraordinary day. It became extraordinary, not because of Moses' initiative, but rather because of God's initiative. God came to Moses while Moses was tending sheep, just doing his job. And throughout Scripture, we find God constantly seeking out people, the Creator longing to reach us, coming to us, calling us to himself and into relationship with him. And God chose to come to Moses and make himself known through part of his creation. Moses had likely seen lots of bushes in his life, perhaps even a few that burned. But there was something peculiar about this particular bush. The bush was aflame, but did not burn up. Now, we could get sidetracked and try to explain what it was that Moses was seeing, but rather than get caught up with the light and sound shows that so often deter us from recognizing the most important part aspect of the event, we must, like Moses, be attentive enough to see and hear beyond the phenomena to the reason for the phenomena. Now, fire was a recurring sign of God's presence throughout Scripture. And God was present with Moses. Now, that's amazing. Sure, a bush on fire that doesn't burn up is strange, and certainly an attention getter. But fortunately, Moses was attentive to hear the voice of God. God calls to Moses, and God calls him by name. God knows him. The Creator of the universe knows his creatures and longs to make himself known to them. Yet God reminds Moses of his place in the relationship. "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground." In other words, remember your place. I'm the Creator. You are the creature. As I noted, friends, were made in the image of God. As part of the created order, we have been made to have a special place in relation to our Creator. And Moses remembered that he was only a creature and hid his face from God for fear that he might die for having looked upon the face of God. So Moses approached his Creator with reverence. God initiated this encounter with a purpose. Remember, God had seen the misery of his people. He'd heard their cries. The Israelite people's hope had diminished. Their identity as God's people was something they were forgetting. And their dignity had been crushed by oppression and slavery. And God came to affirm the promise he made to their father Abraham, that they indeed were his people. And God had not abandoned them despite their abandonment of him. When we no longer look for God, God never fails at continuing to look for us. When we're down and defeated, God in his mercy reaches to us, desiring to raise us up from the dust of the earth, from all that oppresses and enslaves us. God desires to raise us up to life in his presence, life in relationship with him as the sons and daughters of God, people with an identity, people with dignity. God desires to save us from all that robs us of these gifts intended for us. Now, you've heard me state numerous times that salvation is never salvation just from something. It's also salvation to something. Not only did God desire to rescue his people from the hands of the Egyptians, he wanted to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a life intended for them, one of freedom and fullness of life. And so how does God accomplish his redeeming work? He calls upon people like Moses, a shepherd, just doing his job. And God in Christ did not gather them from temples or palaces. He gathered them from the seashore, from the marketplaces, from the fields. These are the kinds of people God chooses to send forth to accomplish his kingdom building work. People like you and me who have heard the voice of God call us into his presence and into relationship with him. Yet so often our response to God's call sounds similar to Moses. Who am I that I should go? I'm only a shepherd. I'm only a fisherman. I'm only a farmer. I'm only a merchant. I'm only a secretary. I'm only a factory worker. Are you kidding? I don't even have a job and you want me? God, I'm not equal to the task. Who's going to listen to me? I have absolutely no clout, and I can't speak. I'm kind of a klutz. And besides, what can I do or say that will make any difference? And God's response to Moses is God's response to us. I will be with you. As Donna reminded us a couple of weeks ago, that is enough. I will be with you. My presence with you is all you need. In other words, you are going to have to step out in faith and trust me. Moses knew that he needed some authority as he anticipated the people questioning his motives, because he had no authority of his own. The only authority he could depend upon was God's, for the task would be accomplished by God in the authority of God's name. The mission would be accomplished not because of Moses' special gifts, his position or special status, but rather because Moses trusts God, depends upon God, listens to God, and obeys God. And Moses is not the only person God will use to accomplish his work of redemption. Today it's common to forget that ministry belongs to the church. Christ's body in the world, and not to any specific individual. And Moses is told by God that the mission will be accomplished through community. Go assemble the elders of Israel, God tells him. The elders will listen to you, and you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt. Friends, remember, the church is one body, and ministry takes place through community, not lone rangers. And as Doug reminded us last week, we are in function together. As post-resurrection people, we know God in Christ came to us, lived among us, and revealed himself to us, called us out from those things in our lives that enslave us, and called us to freedom and life in its fullness. And God poured his Spirit upon all flesh and is present with us today, here and now, in this place. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirits that we are indeed God's children, having identity. And God's love dignifies us and lives in us. See, remember, Moses felt like an alien in a foreign land, an outcast who did not belong. The Israelites were oppressed, enslaved, and had lost all sense of dignity. And some of us today feel like Moses did, like an alien in a foreign land, feeling like, well, we don't belong. Friends, God's good news is that we are known by God intimately by name, and we are precious in his sight, children of immeasurable worth, and we do belong. And some of us may feel like an Israelite slave, abused and oppressed. And God is saying to us that he hears our cries for help, that he has not abandoned us, but is reaching out to us to deliver us from our oppressors. If we're willing to let go and face the future unknowns by trusting God, we can be confident that he will never leave us. We will never be alone. Friends, it is God's will that we live for that for which we were created, life abundant and free. And some of us may have experienced God's call to mission, and we're fearful to accept it. We are fearful of not being equal to the task. We fear the response of others. We lack courage and the skills. We're anxious about doing or saying the wrong things. Or we feel we need something great and profound to say. Or some foolproof program with assured success. Friends, please remember that it is God's work which God will accomplish through them that are willing to say, here I am. God is saying, I will be with you. Trust me. Go in faith.
Amen.